Come along with us as we discuss our heritage for our legacies.
Welcome to our journey.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Michael.
And this is David.
It's Keith.
Today's guest is another woman of God and another one of our many aunts. Aunt Donna Patterson. Aunt Donna is married to Mark Patterson, mother to Austin, and soon to be Anna Lee.
Anna Lee.
So welcome, Aunt Donna.
Thank you. Good to be here. You know, this is my least favorite thing, speaking.
Yeah.
In front of crowds.
That's why you taught school for how many years?
I know y'all say that, but that's different. Because like I was telling Michael, I had a game plan. I knew exactly what I was going to do every day. We had an introductory activity. We had a skill we learned. That's different than winging it.
Well, and
I guess.
This is the person.
Coached in front of huge crowds at Ware County basketball. So.
And softball.
But this is the person that prayed on the way to the sports bank was to get in a wreck so I would have to speak in front of the whole group. Yes, that's me.
You prayed that you would get in a wreck.
Just a fender bender, nothing real big. Just enough to prolong my time so that I couldn't make it in time to the sports banquet.
Well, I'm glad.
Never happened. Never happened. Oh, brother. My knees would be knocking, y'all.
Unanswered prayer.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, that's, you know, we kind of have that thought, and then we get in here and we just start talking, and it kind of flows. But I have to say, whenever we moved back, I don't know why you took me to be the bat boy. And I can remember it, and now some of the girls that played then are around again, and they go, yeah, we remember you being the little bat boy. I mean, I was 6 and a half, and then I squared off with Coach Renew and wouldn't talk to him, and
he called you Pedro.
He called me Pedro.
Pedro.
And when he called me
he
Pedro,
had a nickname for everybody.
That was when my disdain for the Spanish language, I guess, started.
Oh, no.
Because when I got to high school, I didn't want to take Spanish.
Oh, no.
But then I learned how to communicate in Venezuela in Spanish. But it's when we get together and we start talking about these things, it's funny the stories that come up. But as we think about questions, we always are asking our aunts and everybody that comes on, what is a Bible verse, Aunt Donna, that stuck with you either right now or over the years that really comforts you, and why?
Well, I wrote this one down because this one always stuck with me all throughout. I can do all things in him that strengthens me. I wouldn't be here right this minute if I didn't read this over and over, Philippians 4:13. But it probably helped me stay in college, get a degree, keep fighting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there was a time where I was very homesick and came home and wouldn't have gone back. But I kept remembering that verse.
Never gave up.
Got back in the car, went back to Tennessee, finished the job.
That would have been a long... For me, going back to Tifton was hard sometimes. But to drive to Tennessee, I don't think I'd have ever made it.
Six hours.
Mm-hmm.
So there wasn't a whole lot of trips home.
And I can remember those days. I probably remember your first car.
The Cordova?
I saw one in Tifton just a few months ago, Aunt Donna, and it was the same color.
It might be the car.
A picture, but I'd have to find it. That when I saw it, I there's Aunt Donna's car.
Hey, that was the hit.
Mm-hmm. I remember the.
It would roll, you know. There was several times I got invited on trips, I think, just because I had a reliable vehicle, you know. Not everybody did when we went to college.
Mm-hmm. You remember the 280.
280. It was a Toyota.
Yeah.
It
was Datsun.
Yeah.
Something.
It was before they became the Nissan.
Yeah. It was a Datsun.
I remember a silver car, red car.
I have some vehicles over the
Well,
years.
I remember them because you used to take us with you a lot. And wherever you were going, you had some of us in the car with you. That's what I remember.
The more the merrier.
Mm. Well, I remember.
It was like y'all were my brothers and sisters because all of mine had already, you know, gotten married and started having children. So y'all were like my little brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
You had to take me home several nights.
That's one thing I wrote in here. I know. I talked your mom into letting you spend the night, and I promised Marie if he starts crying, I will bring him to Patterson. And I actually think you were up at Cindy's house spending the night up there, but I had made that promise to your mama, so Cindy called. I had to go pick you up and take you to Patterson. You were ready to go home.
To go home.
Yes, it was.
Oh, I wasn't the only one like that.
No.
Okay.
Because
I made
out of it, though.
Definitely. Well, I did too, but I mean, I can remember being at y'all's house and saying, I want to go home, and it wasn't but 150 yards through the woods down the dirt road.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cindy and I went to Linda's to spend the night with her, and we'd be in the bedroom in there crying, afraid Mom was going to die before we could get back home to her.
Yeah.
We had to stay, though. They didn't take us home.
I wonder what Uncle Zane said.
He didn't know it. We didn't let him know we were back there crying. Kept it quiet.
So if you could talk to your grandchildren or great-grandchildren, any descendants of Austin, what would be something that you would want them to know? What would you tell them?
I don't know. I was thinking about basketball in my life. Y'all probably don't even know that this is how basketball was when I started. When I was in 9th and 10th grade, basketball was played with 6 players on the court for women. You had 2 guards on one end, 2 forwards on the other end, and then you had 2 rovers that could go on both ends of the court. I was telling him, he didn't know anything about that. He's like, that is really messed up. And when I went up to Tennessee, well, my 11th grade year, they changed it, and it went 5-on-5, just like boys basketball. But when I went to Tennessee, they still played the way my sisters played, where you had 3 guards and 3 forwards, and you couldn't cross over to the other side. If you were a guard, then you play defense all night. If you were a forward, then you got to shoot.
Okay, well, that kind of makes sense. But I've always wondered why they were called different positions. Because watching today's game, it's 5 running up and down the court.
Right.
But now you're saying guards. Yeah. Now I understand where that came from.
And see, up in Tennessee, it was nothing for some of those women that I knew. They scored 70 points in a game, you know, because –
They
had a really good shooter. They just fed you the ball all night. And it's like playing 3-on-3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never knew that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
that's how it was.
It does make sense how they have the certain terms for their.
Yeah.
But I can remember going to Sammy Dixon took me to the first basketball game I ever went to. I went to watch Nancy play. She played for the high school. And I went with him to a game, and I remember thinking that night, I'm going to play this when I get old enough. And so they didn't have basketball until I got in 9th grade. And Johnny Johnson was my coach. He was from Alma, but he went to Lee College. And since that time he got out of coaching and became a preacher. And now he's a Church of God preacher down in Ocala, Florida.
Okay.
But that man, whew, he just about ran me to death. Me and Karen Hernan had never done a figure eight in our life, and he meant we were going to learn how today. Every time we did it wrong, we had to start over and go again. But I can remember Daddy coming to a game. I never realized this. He and Mama never came out to many of our games. I just thought it's because they were busy and working. He's like, oh, no, I went in that gym one time, and that man was yelling at you so bad, I had to get out. And I thought, really? You, Terry, yelled at me just as bad in that tobacco field.
Yeah,
true that.
But they did come to see me in college, but I never remember them coming to a high school game. But it didn't bother me. It's not like it is today where parents are everything your child does. They were busy earning a living. But basketball opened a lot of doors for me that I don't know that would have been opened otherwise. And I learned a lot of good things that helped me in some tough situations. Like never give up. Persevere. You know, set your mind to a goal and work towards it.
And if, as we were growing up, I think those were things that we were taught without it being a lesson, an intentional lesson out here on the farm. You know, and until we see those memes come across social media now, and sometimes we wish we didn't have the social media, but you don't know what it is to grow up until you've worked in a tobacco patch. But you're right, because our aunts were out there with us. I mean, it wasn't just they'd work a full job and then come out there or come to the farm and help grandma. But it was a team effort.
Right.
So by the time you got to college, you had a team mentality without having to be taught. I think that's one of the reasons why we really started this was because we don't talk about those things enough now.
I'm sure that Aunt Donna learned a lot about leadership and coaching, running the tobacco crew. I've seen it.
Right? I can't believe.
I mean, Aunt Donna was the general. I've said it before.
I cannot believe that. Because I never really, I was just another peon out there under Daddy and Jack and Terry's.
When they were there, okay, that was true. But they wasn't always there, Aunt Donna. And as soon as they would leave, it was like you got the stripes on your shirt.
I was the boss.
That was right. Turn it around. Let's go.
Oh. Anything. We had to be on our P's and Q's for that Donna out there. We had to back the truck up just right underneath it. I mean, she would yell. You could hear her inside the truck. You could hear her yelling from the top of the picker.
Now, listen, I learned that from Terry. I'm telling you. I know I learned it from Terry.
Yeah, that voice inflection.
Yeah.
Because he had it. He could change his voice, and you heard him, and you knew when he meant business. That was the thing.
And, you know, one thing I didn't learn about him until just a few years ago is that he liked basketball and tried out for Mr. Harrison. Mr. Harrison was our middle school principal, and he had a basketball team that he took around and played other schools and stuff, and Uncle Terry tried out for it and made the team, but he couldn't go play because he had to work in the field.
Mm-hmm.
Always felt bad about that after I heard that.
I don't know. It's so different today. I don't know. All the way through, I can remember there's others in our family that were the same way, that were even our age, that they never played. Probably really gifted athlete. Philip Bennett comes to mind. Philip at school could outthrow anybody, could outrun anybody. He was bigger than us, faster than us.
Really?
And we used to beg him to play football, but he had to go drive tractors.
Yep. It was a different life back then. That came first.
Bubba. Bubba's another one. He was bigger than us, faster than us. But he worked.
Mind running over.
He went home and went to work usually after school. But I bet them two could have been probably NFL football players.
Yeah.
And Uncle Terry, too. He had them broad shoulders. He could have flattened you.
Yep.
So what's the story about the farm or something that happened on the farm that you remember that most folks might not know about or you want to share? Or
I have to think about that for a little while. I can't think of one, just one particular story. I'll have to think about that a little bit.
Well, what's a special memory about
Grandma? A special memory about my daddy. After church on Sunday nights, he took us to the Tasty Freeze or to Graham's to get an ice cream. We all loved it, you know, because daddy was going to stop at Graham's. He was driving.
That's probably why I'm here.
You reckon?
I mean,
Cindy probably saw that cute little Lanny in there and stopped for a visit.
I'm glad they went and got ice cream.
Yeah, you might not never have met up. They might never have.
What about Grandma?
I can think of a sad time. Let's talk about that. Some good times I remember was we always were in the Christmas play at the Flagstaff Church of God every Christmas. You know, we had to learn our parts, sing our songs, and we always got a bag of fruit. You know, that was the highlight of our Christmas. You know, we never really thought that we were poor or anything, but talking to other people in my age group, they didn't get much more than that either.
Right, right. It's a different time.
It was a different time. But that was a big deal to us. We enjoyed that a lot, helping get the fruit bags ready for everybody to give out.
Do y'all remember the music machine when we did that at church?
Salty.
Salty, yeah. That's right.
I couldn't remember the name of it.
Yeah, that was it.
Is that the name of it?
Mm-hmm.
The group came in one time they came in was right after we moved back. Because I remember one of the skits, there was thunder and lightning. And somehow they worked them lights in the church and it looked like lightning. I remember that. But yeah.
I remember how it being the music box one time.
Mm-hmm. Stan always had a big part. You know, and when we were coming along and we had to do it, Stan, because he could sing and he loved being in front of everybody and doing that back in them days. That's what I think of whenever we talk about Christmas plays. I think of Stan out there.
Yeah.
Shining. That was his time.
And that's one of the best memories, too, is when y'all would come to the house, we would get in there around that piano. Sing and play. And Mom and Daddy just let us go. They never complained about us being too loud or upsetting everybody.
Yeah.
Those were good days.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what was some of your jobs on the farm?
Some of my job? Just like everybody else. Picking tobacco, sucking and topping tobacco, hoeing tobacco,
transplanting tobacco,
moving irrigation.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we did that. And I'll never forget the year Daddy planted a field of watermelons, and he did not allow any road in there between the rows of watermelons. So we had to carry these, I'm thinking 70 pounds. They were huge watermelons out to the road, to the truck. That, remember that white that mm-hmm. picture of you and Julie mm-hmm. and Justin yeah. and Wendy around that truck, white truck, that was the year.
And they were that big.
They were huge.
It was different. Today, they grow, they've developed watermelons, they grow them, they want them little, like what we call citrons.
Yeah.
We won't even, we just walk by them in the grocery store because they're too little.
Yeah.
But that's what people want because it goes in the refrigerator. Back yeah. in those days, the bigger the better.
Because right. you had a large wanted. Family. You fed everybody a watermelon.
And I mean, it's just totally different.
Yeah.
What was... Was that the year they were in the field over across the highway?
Right here.
Yep.
See, I don't right remember that here. Year. I remember oh, yeah. the year they was across the highway and we loaded them onto the rotary mower.
That was a little field. When he threw them out here, this was
the field.
The field.
Yeah.
And he planted the field on the other side of Uncle Harry's one time. That's probably what he's talking about. It was big enough they brought in semis. The load. So, I mean, he did several times.
Yeah.
That was fun. Good workout.
You slept good. Have any need for sleeping aids because hard work.
So you was telling us before we come on story of Uncle Tommy.
Tommy had told me one time I went to visit he and Lois and we were talking and he told me that he had attended college in Middle Georgia and that I believe Linda told me the other day that Jack Jacob was also going to college there with him and they had to hitchhike home because they didn't have a vehicle. Somebody picked him up and dropped him off, I think, out there in Bristol. Somebody from this area had a car and came by and
that's a lot
gave closer. Them a ride.
Yeah.
Bristol's a lot closer to Walton up Middle Georgia.
Where is that? Cochran.
Yeah.
Isn't that where it is? Middle Georgia?
Right. Middle Georgia is Cochran.
I only think he went 1 year, though. I believe that's what he was telling me.
I have to remember.
Ask him about that one.
Yeah, he has a lot of good stories that y'all probably have never heard because it's from a different.
It's a whole nother air from you.
Right.
How many years in between you and Uncle Tommy?
20.
20 years.
So I don't really remember him ever being at home when I was there.
Right.
Mainly, I can only remember Cindy, Carrie, Marie being there when I was there. And then Missy and Jamie came and lived for a time.
Mm-hmm.
And I about killed Missy a few times accidentally swinging a bat and she walked behind me and hit her in the head. So
sure
everybody's at church and I don't remember. This was on a Sunday night. Somehow we got to stay home and I don't, somebody else was there that could drive us to the hospital. We had to go. She did bust her head.
Dang, oh.
It was an accident.
I told you that.
It was an accident, Missy, I promise. Oh, goodness.
Do you have anything on your heart you'd like to share?
I don't know anything, really.
So are you excited that Austin and Annalise?
Oh, very excited. I think that he could never have found anyone more suited to him. That she has made him a better person. Definitely. And I really believe that there's nobody else in the world that he could have found that would have made him happier than he is right now. She's just his girl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He seems to be crazy about her.
He's crazy about her.
Mm-hmm.
Like Amber said, he loves her guts. He does. He yeah. really does. Her mama says she does his too. I say, well, that's wonderful. But it's a blessing that he's here after. I told him he's had two close calls when he was first born.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in the hospital. And that was his first miracle. when the E. coli bacteria was between his scalp and skull, got if it would have gotten into his bloodstream, he wouldn't be here today. But thank God for Dr. Davis and God helping him know how to treat that. He recovered from that, and then COVID. Thank the Lord for Dr. Fordham. And, you know, everybody in the health field treated him.
Yeah, that's one thing that I'm glad we do this and we try to bring it up from time to time. The miracles that's happened in our family. I think too often we don't tell each other about those miracles.
Yeah.
But they happen all the time.
And, you know, I think back, I was thinking about this. Whenever I was young, in fourth grade, we were out chasing cows, and I had a big board chasing the cow with it. Somehow, I tripped and jabbed the board, it was a sharp end on it, into my foot. Well, Mom took me to the doctor, they checked it out, didn't find anything, but it bothered me all the time. So when I started playing basketball, this was 7 years later, you know, God's number, seven. 7 years later, I was in high school and playing and running in basketball, and my foot was killing me. And I went to, at the Church of God, went down, and they prayed for me. Well, this knot started coming up on my foot. And then I started digging around, and this stick came out from 7 years earlier.
Wow.
I mean, it was causing me a lot of pain, like running up and down the court. It would hurt at nighttime, and stick came out, but got well. Never had any more trouble with it.
Definitely the good Lord work.
It really is.
Yeah.
And then when I was living by myself, Aunt Christy and Andrea,
yeah,
they had lived with me, and they had both left. Christy went to get married.
Yeah.
And Andrea had moved back home to save money because she was about to get married to Tom.
Yeah.
So I was by myself, and this man broke into my house, which I don't know if it was the same man, but somebody about a week before that had broken in and stolen a gun that this former student had given me. Why I had a gun, I don't know. I didn't even know how to use it. But that was a miracle. I had watched an Oprah show where they talked about about a situation where a woman had been broken into and the man was going to rape her, and she had given in to keep from getting killed. That thought was going through my head. And then I had read a guidepost story about a woman who had been in the same situation, and she had told the man that she was a Christian and that God would take care of her. So when this man broke into my house, apparently there was a situation where he had a former girlfriend that was in a halfway house right up the street. And he evidently realized that I was living alone. And when he broke into the house, he cut the phone cord. I had a new puppy. I heard a noise, thought it was the puppy, get up to check, and there's the man standing in my house. And he grabs me and starts banging my head on a concrete wall. And I remember thinking, I can give in to this or I can fight back. Well, it just so happens I have been going to the gym, working out, lifting weight for months with a friend of mine. And so he picked up my scissors and started cutting my hair. For some reason, that infuriated me. And I thought, no, I am fighting with everything I've got in me. And I fought. And I remember thinking, I've got to get away from this cement wall or he's going to kill me. So I was able to get into the living area, and I told him that I was a Christian and that God was going to get him back. And he let go of me and ran out of the room.
Mm-hmm.
If that's not a miracle, you tell me what it is.
That's how we have to fight.
Get behind me, Satan.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's why I say basketball, prepare, working in tobacco, prepare me for that.
That's right.
Yeah.
I remember Jack. I remember that man's face when that was going on. I remember him loading the shotgun and heading to Waycross. And I knew, I always thought my grandpa was John Wayne, and I really think it would have turned into a John Wayne scene if he'd have found somebody at that house. That he meant business that night.
Like, you know, that we've never had a situation where we've come in to record where we look up and we go, well, we don't know. This don't make sense or anything like that. This morning, our service, it goes right along with this. You know, and fighting. What are we fighting for? You know, when you talk about fighting for your life, and the first thing you think of is saying, hey, God's going to get you for this. That's not the normal way, but because of upbringing.
That needs to be the normal way.
That, right. And that's, we're not trying to say that our family is any better than anybody else's. We don't think we're any better than anybody else. What we're trying to do is encourage people to make a new normal.
Yeah.
We just happen to have a lot of history that makes us think about normal a little different than a lot of people do. And we've been made fun of, we've been laughed at, we've been called names for it, and it's okay. And the funny part that we think about, we laugh about now is, it's come full circle.
Yeah.
You know, we're sharing with people, and we're hearing people tell us stuff we've been talking about for years.
Right, and the people that laughed at you, now they know God.
That's
and
right.
They realize that, well, y'all are right from the get-go.
Yeah. And you know, when Michael asked Aunt Donna how many years were between her and Uncle Tommy, all I can ever remember was seeing pictures of my mom and daddy's wedding, and Aunt Donna was 3 years old.
Yeah, and they used to haul me around like I was their baby. I remember going to St. Simon's with them for like a week. I was just little, 4 or 5 years old.
Yeah, and it was kind of...
They needed practice.
It was odd, though, you know, seeing that. And then when I got married, you know, Lauren was like 18 months old and Michaela was like 3. And now thinking back, boy, I had nieces that were the age of my mama's sister when my mama got married. You know, and there was a lot... It was 11 years between me and Christy, but still, we have embraced our family. But I can remember the night that Aunt Donna was attacked. Mama praying,
Mama,
you know, getting a phone call, you know. And so that's kind of how we've always done. Was when there was a time of need, of prayer, when Austin got sick. We don't hesitate to say, hey, can you pray about this?
Right.
And that's one of the, I guess, comforts that we have as a big family when we get together. And now we're, I think the really neat part is it's extending beyond
our family.
Our family.
Yeah.
Our blood relatives.
That's right.
But you know, that's what you always have. You know that if anything goes wrong, you got this.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep. And like Aunt Nancy was saying last week about the forming the warriors, you know, the worship warriors.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy to do with the technology that we have now. You know, send out a message and get everybody praying. And that's what everybody needs to be doing, reaching out to others. Don't hold a problem inside and try to handle it yourself. Share it.
Or yeah.
Just you don't, even if you don't want to share the exact problem, at least let us know to pray with you about a situation. And we can do that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and sport, how does, you know, sports, like she said, that's one of the biggest things that comes to her mind when she's thinking about future generations, how it influenced her. I was so bad at sports when I went to Georgia Southern and worked women's basketball. I mean, I got out on the court because the coach told me to be the practice dummy. He just didn't realize how big a dummy I was, you know, and he finally said, just get off the court. You're going to get somebody hurt. That's how uncoordinated I was.
He is.
Still is. So, but I wasn't. I tried to explain to him, but when he told me to, I knew, hey, wait a second. He's a coach. Let me try to do what he's telling me to. He found out I was still better at running the clock and taking care of other stuff. But we all have a part, you know. And it's funny that I think back to those early years that Aunt Donna would drag us around. And I remember going to the first concert, David and the Giants in Waycross. And I had on the ugliest jams. They looked like Chip's shirt last night at the...
I saw a picture of that.
And it wasn't just that they were jams. It was the colors.
Well, that's what they were supposed to use. You were supposed to get the ugliest pair you could get a jam. That's what I thought it was.
Well, Chip's shirt matched the ones I had last night at the Yeehaw. And if we'd have had black lights then, I would have been kicking it with them jams on. But I got it from, David and Justin was wearing them, so I had to wear
them. I'm sitting there wondering whose hand-me-downs you were wearing. I didn't have ugly ones. My mom only made really good-looking ones. We never had a pair of store-bought jams.
Oh, we didn't either. We just picked the ugliest material.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Our mamas made them.
I'm sure I got them from one of y'all.
They
I had pink ones.
Yeah. They match your curtain.
They did for a while.
They did, I remember.
You want some jams? Well, we just made you curtains. We got some leftover fabric.
Cheap fabric.
Yeah.
I want to go back to the basketball for just a minute.
Okay.
Because I think I missed something.
What?
Not really missed it, but Aunt Nancy played basketball.
And Nancy played, Lydia played, Linda played, your mother played. And I played.
Did they call y'all the Bowenville Trotters or anything?
Nah, we all played in different
eras.
Decades.
I think Mama tried to play a little.
Oh, did she?
I think she tried.
My mama said B team. She played
Aunt
B-team.
Sandra was the...
Sandra and Linda played on the same team.
Yeah.
And okay. I think Sandra, maybe they went to state. Did they win the state?
She was on one of those good...
Yeah.
Wow.
And her brother Donald and Travis were really good.
I've always heard stories of Travis playing football. Always heard he was really good at football.
Well, Donald, they called him the mule in basketball. Mule. Yeah. He was tough. He was tough. You did not want to have to guard him in basketball.
Ooh.
But I don't know about Linda's position, what she played. You know, she was the homecoming queen.
No. Yes. Didn't know that.
You never saw that picture?
Probably.
Yeah, she was the homecoming queen when she was in high school. Pretty, pretty, pretty.
Where Zena had to get it from, because Zena's always been pretty,
yep.
Pretty, pretty.
Yep.
And Uncle Zane, he was not pretty.
Uncle Zane's pretty.
I loved Uncle Zane.
And he's his man.
Yes.
He took us hunting.
He took all of us fishing. And that's the thing that I remember about him the most is, like, when I got to that age, you know, he started talking to me about hunting. And I can still remember him calling me on the, you know, when you had to walk to the phone at the wall and answer.
Rotary phone.
Right. Yeah. And I can still remember him asking me if I had my hunter safety course completed and if I was ready to go. And then he moved from me to Michael. And then Austin, he took Austin under his wing and taught him a lot.
Yep, that was his boy.
About bird dogs and raising quail. And I was telling Austin, I still remember, we slaughtered 300 quail for your wedding.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they were good.
I can still remember that. And it's crazy because you look at Austin and you're like.
The recipe's in here, you know. We got Uncle Zane's recipe for quail in there.
I didn't know that.
And she's pointing to the cookbook.
Yes, it's in there.
In our family cookbook.
Yeah.
Because Zane had written it down.
Well, I remember. That's where I remember my first quail eating them was at her wedding rehearsal dinner. And that was a bunch of people and a bunch of quail.
That was a bunch of slaughtering.
Yeah.
I remember he handed me a basket and said, go fill up that basket with birds. They're still running around. That's right.
Oh, yeah. No.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we had Dooley on here, and we were talking about your room and your posters.
That is so funny to me. Y'all remember all that?
Daughter's room was it. That was the place. That was the place we wanted to go, and we were commanded to stay out of it.
Why? What was in there?
Who knows?
We don't know.
We don't know.
But we didn't stay out a lot of the house.
But I'll never forget the trophies in Aunt Donna's room.
Yeah.
Trophies.
Yeah.
Big trophies, basketball trophies.
It made us want to compete.
It did. It was like we want to win a big trophy one day.
That was awful when I first started, y'all. It was terrible. It was so bad.
It's funny you say you didn't know how to use a gun. It's all right because God sent somebody around that did know how to use a gun, and her name was Janine.
Oh, Janine?
Yeah. You and Janine were the babysitters that me and Justin had. That was it.
Janine came to us. We inherited Janine, and we had some great times with her.
Oh, man.
One thing I was thinking of, after, you know, we would get through picking tobacco, we would be sitting around that table at nighttime eating leftovers, generally. That's what we did. And we would come up with, you know, music was all our thing. We all loved it. And we would have glasses and fill the glasses different, you know, different levels of water in it.
Yeah.
The spoons tapping on the top, making our own songs up. Ken, Janine, Missy.
Yeah.
Ken.
Yep. We had a good time. Ken. But Janine could always, she had the greatest sense of humor. She could come up with some of the funniest
things. Still.
Yeah. She really does. She does.
And riding the go-kart that Ken would rebuild.
Ken was always working on a lawnmower or go-kart.
Yep.
Something with a motor on it. He's always working on it. He once had a Ford Pinto that would pick the front tires up off the ground when he got on it.
What is so funny to me now is Austin, he makes sounds like Ken.
No, he looked like him. he can walk across the farm when he's up there at the barn sometimes.
It looks like.
Yeah.
He's never been around Ken, hardly knew him. And he has some mannerisms that are Ken's. And I'm like, dear Lord.
Yeah.
You are giving me that.
It makes
that.
You think you're seeing things.
And I'm glad.
Right.
Kind of takes my breath, but
it
helps me remember.
Yes. I don't want to forget.
Right. And that's the farm that we're, you know, and it's genetics. We've got second, third, fourth cousins that resemble our siblings, you know, are our nieces and nephews. And I think it's God's way of allowing the generations a connection. You know, why would Austin look like Ken, or why would Austin walk like Ken? Well, God's showing us, hey, I want to remind you. And, you know, I think that's interesting how it works. It was like the other day I woke up and I had a dream, and I could hear Daddy talking to me. And it's his voice. And it was something pertaining to what's going on now, but I've thought about that with Grandma and Grandpa. I've had thoughts, and I can hear Grandpa talking, or I can hear Grandma talking. And you know, I think about that, and I think I'm so thankful that Liz Ann was able to hear Grandma and Grandpa, or she thinks about Daddy, you know, to the point where my last recollection of Grandma was me and Liz Ann walked in the house. And I didn't know. I mean, here I am, a dad with my little girl, and I really didn't know that the aunts had been kind of coaching Grandma. When we'd get there, they'd start the conversation so she would know where to pick up. Well, that day I walked in and she looked at me and Liz Ann and goes, Keith, where are you and Liz Ann headed? And Aunt Cindy whipped around. Well, he's coming to check on you. I mean, that's where we were headed. And then later on I found out, well, that was a week before she passed. But that thought will always be with me, because I walked in and Grandma looked at me and said, where are you and you and Liz Ann headed? Well, that's my daughter. And I thought about how she was able to experience Grandma. And I'll think back at early memories, 2 and 3 years old. And so to me, it's not a problem to think that Liz Ann experienced things with Grandma and Grandpa that she remembers with my Mima, you know. Besides the fact that she looked in the casket and said, ooh, you're going to be upset. She's in the same clothes she was in last night. Oh, no. I mean, but she knew Mima was always to the T, and she was in pre-K, you know. So, you know, these family things, God allows us to see them, to remember.
Yeah. And give y'all a little bit of where we're at on the farm. We planted taters this week. Grandpa taught me to plant taters on Valentine's Day. So every year we do our best to plant them on Valentine's Day. This year it was a week late.
It was raining. And
tractor tore up.
Yeah.
And we had to fix it. But we did that. And I just showed Michael a picture. We're talking about things that we pick up that carry on, that we don't even realize it at the time. My mama took a picture of Jackson on the tractor. And at first I looked at it and it's Jackson on the tractor. And then she said, he looks like Uncle Terry. And I went back and it looks like my grandpa.
It looks like grandpa to me.
And
the way he's probably over, like, well, his arm.
Jackson didn't see Grandpa driving the tractor, right? No, Jackson saw me.
Yeah.
And I drive the tractor the way I was taught to drive the tractor by my Uncle Terry and my grandpa. And Jackson drives the tractor the way I drive the tractor, which is
you're hanging over to the side so you can see which the wheels going down the road straight.
And you pray that they're picking up, and they are. You know, driving a tractor, he's not going to make his living driving tractors. I don't see that.
He's way too smart.
Well, if that's what he wants to do, then that's great. But there's so few that can today. But I hope he picks up the faith the way that we believe in Jesus. And we know that Jesus is our foundation and that we can always turn back to Jesus to help us. And that's what I hope that our kids are picking up. That's what I hope people are picking up from these podcasts is that.
Yeah.
Wherever you're at, you can always turn to Jesus.
Right. Not only that, that Bible reading that Julie's got going on, it's really helpful to keep you on pace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sends you reminders. Make sure you do it. And he just showed me another picture. But what you're doing, Julie, is right on target. Keep it up.
And you know, to remember that you can never be so bad that God will not forgive you. There's nothing you can't be so bad. The way we were brought up, it was almost like in the beginning, I thought you had to be perfect or you just wasn't going to heaven. You know, you weren't going to heaven if you weren't perfect. But then you start looking in the Bible, and in this Bible study we're doing with Julie, there were some bad people in those first three books of the Bible.
That's right.
And Job, you know, they were bad people. And God use them in mighty ways. So that tells me you can ask God to forgive you and he will forgive you and he will use you if you will allow him to do that.
But there was a lot of different rules from God. Ooh, back
they
then,
had a lot of rules.
Didn't they?
Yes.
And nowadays it's forgiveness because of the stripes and the blood that he shed. And he took those stripes for us.
Right.
I mean, he sent his son to do the sacrifice for us.
Right.
To accept all of our sins. And I went back and went back to season one of The Chosen and started over watching that. And that's just eye-opening. How he interacted, how Jesus walked and interacted with the people, trying to convince them it's going to change. And I hadn't made it all the way through the third season yet, so but we know what happens. But that's just, you know, try The Chosen. Download the app and watch it. You can send it to your TV and watch it. But it's eye-opening.
Yeah.
It'll tug on your heartstring. And what was that other thing?
Aunt Donna brought cookies through the podcast. And
whose recipe was it?
Aunt Evelyn's.
They're good. I'm so sorry the rest of y'all are not here. Not really. I get
stop to. By. I have them in the freezer now. I've learned a new trick with them.
So we covered the Bible app. We covered Julie's, you know, Bible reading. Did Chosen. There was something else.
We did get some good news this week on the Isaiah 117 house. We are encouraged. We should be hearing something hopefully pretty soon. But that, you know, again, there's a need, and we're hoping that we can be a small part of the process that the church has kind of let fall to the government. And we can be stepping up to the plate, with this, and we have, in fact, I think Tuesday, Elizabeth's going to meet the lady down in Baker County, Florida, with Isaiah 117. They're going to present a check to her through the power company foundation. But she told us, she said, anytime y'all need any help, y'all got any questions, I'm here. And she said, from just talking to you, she said, it's going to wreck your world. It's going to wreck your world, she said, because you can never imagine what opportunities are going to come up. And she said, it's not going to be y'all. Just one of the stories was, she said, since we started this a year and a half ago, she said, I've gone into every group that'll give me an opportunity to hear what we're doing down here. And she said, when I went to the veterans group, she said, you walk in and there's a bunch of old men. The reason they're there, they're getting a free meal. And she said, they look at a woman and go, I don't want to listen to a woman. And she said, you can just see it all over their face. She said, but I got up there and she said, I tell myself before I say anything, I'm not going to tell such and such story because I don't want to cry and I don't need everybody else crying. She said, I got up there and started talking and telling the story. And she said, I look out and she said, I start seeing tears running down these hard men's faces. And she said, what God's doing in our community, bringing all types of people together. And I told the church this morning, there's either three or four families that have come together because of the Isaiah 117 program there in Baker County, and they're going to be training for foster care. And it's, when we realize the opportunity that we have to pour into somebody else, because God's designed it that way, we better be ready for it to wreck us, because she said it just happens. So as we hear more, I'll share more. But yeah, just keep praying. That's one of the things we said this morning. There's so many things right now that we're praying for. But we're going to keep praying for all the ones that are sick, for all the ones that are going through things. Just share.
Yeah. And the other thing that I wanted to mention was Michaela's blog.
Yes.
Golden Hour. We shared the link on our Facebook page. I've shared it in, you know, some text messages and in different places, but go in and support her in her story of her life and what, you know, some of the struggles that she's been through. You know, it might relate to somebody else that you know, and you can share that, you know, share with them and encourage them.
Right.
There's nothing that our God can't do.
Exactly.
So, Aunt Donna, you got anything else you want to add?
I think I've said it all.
You said it all?
Well, pretty much.
Well, I mean, you only been on here for an hour and two. You didn't think you was going past 30, did you?
I told you. I don't do stand-up.
But anyway, thank you for being here and taking your time and fighting that
that feeling. And we love you.
Yeah. I love y'all.
Yep.
You going to pray us out?
Yep. Dear Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity that we have to get together. We thank you for Aunt Donna coming on with us and sharing. We just pray that it would speak to somebody, and that you would keep allowing us to do this for your glory. We just ask you to be with us as we go until we get back together again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.